Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful Christmas day. Thank you for all our guests here who have chosen to be with us today. Thank you for the family that you are building here at St. Mary's. And thank you that we've come to celebrate the gift of life that you've given of yourself to us. So open our hearts and minds for a few minutes this morning to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. So it is a great celebration, isn't it? Christmas. The day when God stepped into human history and became our singular hope, our unique hope for life, for the world, and for eternity. And we called him Jesus. I just wonder, would you have loved to have been there in that place, that Bethlehem village, on that night? Would it have made it a little bit easier to comprehend it all? Or maybe not? I was reflecting a couple of weeks ago, really, about the fact that presumably there were people who were within feet of Jesus' birth, maybe in the next door boarding house, who might have remained totally unaware of his coming. There were shepherds, there were angels, Mary and Joseph. But it actually seems there were only a handful of people actually physically involved in Jesus' coming. Maybe the innkeeper and his family, his or her family. While the rest of humanity went on with their lives, quite possibly, as if nothing had happened special that day in eternity. And I was pondering about whether the same can be true of us. God might have come very, very close to us, very near to us, and yet we might still be unaware of him. So on this Christmas day, I want to encourage you to be aware of the Christ who has come and is still waiting for each one of us, you and me, in this moment, to open the door to him. You might call it a divine intersection in our lives, a moment when we can meet God. And we need to be careful we don't miss it. I mean, after all, what were the chances that Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the magi, would all be in the right place at the right time in that story to meet the newly born Jesus? Well, there were some factors involved, weren't there? In their case, Caesar Augustus had decided he wanted to collect more tax. Some things never change. No thought of God, just power and wealth in his mind. In fact, he almost thought of himself as a god. Caesars were supposed to be gods. And he called for a census in the entire Roman world. So everyone had to go home to register. It's a pretty mundane opening to the greatest story in the world, isn't it? But it reminds us that God came to a very ordinary place at a very ordinary time, where a handful of people came together to have a divine intersection with God. Caesar thinks he's ordering the census for his own dark purposes, but God is using the census to move Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, the place where he wants them to fulfill Old Testament prophecies. Sometimes we think God is a separate part of our life, don't we? But the reality is that God makes everything sacred, even a tax gathering exercise. So in the ups and downs of our lives, it's possible that God will move heaven and earth to get you and me to the right place at the right time so that we can meet him, so that we can encounter him. And it might feel like it's quite an ordinary moment. Now, of course, Mary had the biggest advantage, didn't she? Wherever Jesus was born, she was bound to be there, let's face it. But Joseph, for example, could have missed the whole thing. I heard two stories of things that happened earlier this year. On the 18th of July, Zach Evans missed the birth of his baby daughter. He was actually rushing his wife, his pregnant wife, to the Louisiana hospital. But found himself having been caught speeding doing that, handcuffed and in Rapides Parish jail, while his wife was rushed to the Cabrini Hospital by ambulance. So he missed the birth of his child. On the other hand, on the 1st of November this year, fireman Alan Frisch was called to a fire just as his wife went into labour. Alan actually rescued a father and three sons from a burning building before rushing to Sydney Hospital, getting there just in time for the birth of his child. Most of us are more like Joseph than Mary, aren't we? It's quite possible we could miss out on the most significant invitation, the most significant event that we will ever be given in our lives. We might miss out on what God wants to accomplish in us. We might see it as an inconvenience rather than an invitation. This event in human history, when God stepped into time and space, when Jesus was born, is a reminder that God is always moving us towards himself, orchestrating an opportunity for us to encounter him. But it does depend on us paying attention, recognizing that moment, stopping for a while, turning aside. I know I've been at the right place at the wrong time too many times, and I've been at the wrong place at the right time as well. I was thinking about the times when I have to admit I was called into ministry, and it probably took me 20 years to recognize the fact. Maybe you too have sensed God speaking to you, but were convinced there would be another time, so you put it off. I had an interesting week this week. It's been a pretty good week, generally, and it's been a great year, I feel, in lots of ways, for the church and so on here. But this week, I went to somebody's house, and I have to say I had the most disappointing, gut-wrenchingly disappointing meeting I've had since I've been here. And it drove me to tears and to anger and complete lack of understanding, really. And I came back, and I sat in the lady chapel there because I was absolutely desperate. And I poured out my heart to God. I cried to God. I thought, what on earth is going on? And I never normally do this, but I opened the Bible completely. I decided deliberately to open the Bible completely at random, which I don't recommend I opened it anyway, and it opened to Matthew 15. And Matthew 15 just spoke to me in a way I have never, I can't remember such a direct message from God. I felt like he was there talking to me. And completely turned me around emotionally and spiritually. And I think there wouldn't have been another passage in the Bible that would have been able to do that at that moment. That was a divine intersection for me. I'm sure God was speaking to me really clearly in that moment. So maybe today, this time, maybe this place, or maybe this new year is your divine intersection. Maybe something in the songs we sing this morning, something in the words we hear, something in the prayers we pray. Maybe this is the moment where you have a chance to meet God. Maybe for the first time, or maybe, like for me, that moment this week, it might be for the umpteenth time. But it's an important time, so don't put it off. Don't miss it. We live so much of our lives, many of us, in a virtual world at the moment, don't we? We have virtual experiences. But I have to keep reminding people that an online date is not a real date. It's only virtually a world. We need to be in the right physical place at the right physical time to have a proper date with God. If you want to experience God, to do business with him, have a life-changing relationship with him, we have to do the work of putting ourselves in a place where he can speak to us and where we can meet him. Sometimes it feels easier to procrastinate, but Jesus was in the stable at that moment, and those who stepped into it shared that moment with God. So let's take all the opportunities we have over Christmas. If you're not used to doing business with God, not used to praying, not used to being with him and allowing him to work on you, here's three little suggestions for Christmas. First of all, we're all likely to have family meals or meals with friends over the next few days. So how about just offering a short prayer beforehand? Lord, we thank you for this food, and we invite you to be part of our conversation in this meal. Just a simple little offering to God that he might be part of what we're doing as we eat together. And see what happens. See where the conversation goes. If you have a little bit of time to read, and you're members of Amazon Prime or something, can I recommend a book this Christmas? John Ortberg's Who Is This Man? If you're wondering who Jesus is, this is a really, really good read. So you can get a copy of that, John Ortberg, Who Is This Man? I've written all these down, and I'm going to give everybody a little leaflet on the way out with these three things on. And finally, if you're not yet regularly investing a little time in your life to pray every day, then I can recommend the Pray As You Go app if you've got a mobile phone or a PC. 12 minutes every day to spend time with God. An amazing app. It's written by some Jesuit priests and monks. And every week they have a different person inviting us to pray, taking us through a Bible reading, and helping us to spend a little time with God. So just three possible opportunities that you might want to take this Christmas and New Year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Christmas day. We thank you this day you came and dwelt among us. Father, we long to have a relationship with you, one that is meaningful, one that allows you to work on us, to build our character, to change our lives into the potential that you have for us. So, Father, we offer you ourselves this Christmas. Please come and be with us and help us to be with you. Help us to open our hearts and minds to you this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.